Hello everyone and welcome to JFG Tonight. I'm just going to make sure that we're live. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Oh my god, do we still have this problem with Odyssey? Please don't tell me it's restarting once again. Oh no, there it is, refreshed. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? I had to refresh. I've had to refresh browser. I'm live. All right, because some people might be stuck with the same problem that I had. We'll see how many people are receiving us. In any case, we have the news today. Gonzalo Lira, our friend CRP, is alive, as I thought, because I covered these old news. They announced his death, and I was like, this doesn't sound right. And yes, he was alive. Here he is. He appeared on the Duran this morning. Here's what he has to say.
This is Friday, April 22nd. Friday already. Yeah, April 22nd, 2022. I'm in Kharkov. I'm okay. I just want to say that I'm back online. And I'm here with Alex Christoforou, and I just want to say that I'm fine physically. I'm a little rattled. I was picked up by the SBU on Friday, April 15th at a little after 1 p.m. local time. I'm okay physically. I'm a little rattled. There seems to have been like a lot of interest in my case, which is wonderful. Thank you.
So he's been arrested, basically. He's been arrested under the martial law of Ukraine. So that's not something where you'll get due process, but at least they didn't kill him and torture him as they could have done. So he seems to have been arrested by these intelligence services, the equivalent of the maybe FBI, CIA, or whatever, in Ukraine. He's going to be on house arrest, so he cannot leave his home. He seemed to be much less willing to engage on the political discourse, and the stream lasted 4 minutes, and then he went off. Then he came back, though, for an audio discussion without video, and so he can still... He did an hour or more with the Duran. He can still discuss, apparently, politics. He can continue. So, basically, he's been detained, and that's his story. So, Coach Red Pill still alive, despite that we had announced that he had announced that he was going to die soon. But it will not be at the hand of the Azov Battalion, it seems. Guy from V says, I hope Ralph is disappointed. I don't care about him. Lots of CRP haters we've been seeing here on the community. If you go to the Telegram channel, the discussion channel of JFG Tonight, where everyone can write stuff, they've come out, and there's a bunch of people who appear to be specializing in CRP hate. There was someone on the Telegram channel was heckling me and saying, Jeff, how can you trust Coach Red Pill? He's a scammer. Apparently, because he says the people who funded the Wilshire Boulevard book didn't get the book. Well, you know, sometimes you fund something on GoFundMe and it takes some time to produce. I don't even know what's the status. That being said, the guy was making claims that relate to me because I did talk about his GoFundMe back in the days, because Coach Red Pill had sent me a copy of that book, and I still have that copy of that book. I checked in my email. Coach Red Pill has sent me a copy of Wilshire Boulevard, so I don't know if it's out for those who participated to these fundraising campaigns, but it's certainly a book that existed. So Coach Red Pill is now back on Twitter, and his official channel is Gonzalo Lira 1968. He had to start a new channel from scratch, but this is the right place if you'd like to get Coach Red Pill updates going forward. Is everyone receiving me on the regular chat? Type one if you are hearing what I'm saying, because I think there are some people who might not have refreshed their browser and they might be on the hold Odyssey. Type one. Okay, we got some people receiving me. Perfect. Thankfully, the Odyssey problems are sometimes resolvable just by refresh. A Georgia plane crashed at General Mills plant. Pictures from the scene show heavy smoke. We see a lot of destruction, a lot of food plants, fertilizer plants, and sometimes right in the US. And some people are raising questions around this. What is happening? Is this just pure luck, or is there some people with bad intent that are funding this destruction? So that was a plane, and the plane, it was a small plane with a single pilot that crashed into a food plant. Fadistra says, why are all these food plants getting destroyed? I don't know. People are speculating that there's an attack on our food infrastructure. Could be. I mean, would we know if there were some attacks that would be like low profile types of attack? Would we ever know? That the same question is raised around Russia. Russia has a lot of fires. We've seen fires in important infrastructure, things exploding. Is it sabotage? Is it some low profile types of terrorism? I don't know. Blood and Biden says, I wonder what Greg Johnson will say about this latest CRP development. Greg was rather has on him before. Well, Greg Johnson, you know, he has fabulous behavior. And so I will not talk to this man again. He came onto my YouTube channel and started acting fabulous and started somehow having the idea of attacking my channel by using, after losing a debate against me, using words that he knew violated the YouTube rules. I'm done with this guy. I don't care. Rockefeller, by the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the cash option under the regular chat. You can see the dollar sign. This is the right way to support the show. Odyssey is my favorite platform for super chats, although you can also use Entropy. Cloud Warmer has sent a super chat. He says, the predictive programming is, of course, well underway. Rockefeller Foundation president starts countdown until all hell breaks loose. Rockefeller Foundation president told Bloomberg Television a massive immediate food crisis is on the horizon. Well, is it really predictive programming when someone is making a prediction here? And I think it's a decent prediction to be made right now. There will be problem with the food supply. Especially because of the nature of food and how it's harvested and cultivated first, harvested then, prepared, processed, delivered. All of this takes a long time. So who knows? Who knows when is it that it will show in full? You know, the events of Ukraine, will they show in full at this season? Well, if it's this harvest season, how much time does it take before the sugar crisps at Walmart are there? There's no more of it. This can take a long time. So who knows when the peak of this will be? Could be in 6 months, in 1 year. Could be a multiple season, multiple year event. So yes, I agree that this is a good prediction, but predictive programming isn't it something that demands more subtlety to it than just a prediction? Did I get stung by a bee? That's a good question. I mean, I do have a big, big, big inflammation right here. It's like, poof. And it makes me think about my grandfather today, because my grandfather had an enormous ball of flesh on his nose. And no, I don't know what happened, but definitely right here, there's a deformation. It's like, Oh my God, this is big, big, big like this. It's all of this. I hope that it will de-inflame and just disappear. Most of the time, it's not really a pimple. That's the problem. There's something deep. It's like a tumor that's growing there. But I'm sure it's not a tumor. I'm sure whenever you get worried about these things, it turns out not to be a tumor. But it's like a tumor in the sense that it's below the skin level, below the fat, below everything. Anyways, it's relatively uncomfortable. But hopefully, I don't know what happened because I don't remember bumping my head on anything. And no, it's not a plumbing accident. Could be, but it's not this. So hopefully it will de-swollen and it will be solved tomorrow. By the way, I'm taking a break tomorrow because tomorrow is a plumbing day for me. I will be making several changes to our plumbing system and setting up the automated watering for the greenhouse and our various fields, and I need some a full day of work for this. The FAA says a YouTube creator deliberately crashed his plane in order to rack up views on his channel. So I had talked about this news item when it happened, but now the FAA has ruled that yes, it was intentional. The guy made a little YouTube video where he's like, Oh no, my plane is not working. Oh, I have to jump. He jumps with his parachute from his plane and he lets the plane just bump into the mountain in a way that has destroyed ultimately. You have a full plane debris into the mountain in a natural park, in a national park. So it's an attack on the property of others, and the FAA has ruled that this guy probably won't get a license ever again, or perhaps for a certain amount of time. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signs bill to remove Disney's tax privilege and self-governing status. Disney stocks down 14% in 1 month. Fitch puts stock on negative watch. It's not going well for Disney. 14% already. It's been going down, down, down all day. And I suspect that tomorrow at opening, it might go down even further because the news of this bill finally is signed. You know, it's fascinating. In Florida, we go from the desire of Ron DeSantis to a signed law in the space of extremely short times compared to anywhere else, compared to the federal government. I'm super happy this is happening because it's a political retaliation, and it's a political retaliation for Disney to have gone full like anti-law and anti-pro-LGBT anti-law in Florida. They were basically saying, Ron DeSantis, we will counteract your law, which seeks to preserve discussions from happening, or not even discussions, but training and courses happening toward the youth, the very young, about sexual orientation and sexual identity. And Disney said, you know, okay, you made it illegal in school. We're going to make 50% of our propaganda will be LGBT. Bam! And Ron DeSantis hits them back, and he removes their privilege. They had the privilege of being basically a city of their own, a government of their own, on their land. This won't be the case anymore. And people were memeing today. There were memes emerging saying, oh, now that Disney is part of Florida, it would be a shame if the building code wasn't respected. Basically, once Disney is not anymore a government of its own, it will be part of a city of some kind. And there's going to be arbitrary amounts of red taping that we can pull on them. This is so fun. I love this news. Mama JF says, depends on what kind of plumbing you're talking about. She was saying that to Blood and Biden, saying, does Mama JF assist when JF is plumbing and doing construction work? Generally, Mama JF does not assist directly. I mean, she assists by occupying her role, but it is not necessarily a role of carrying the pipes or whatever. Although, you know, there were times, for example, when we built the greenhouse, there were times where I had to lift roof pieces, and there was no way we could have done it just me alone. So I was taking Mama JF because it was a 16-foot triangle, and she had to be at one end of it, I had to be at the other hand, and we were fitting it onto the structure. So sometimes Mama JF does participate to the construction activity, but on a rare basis. Mo Brooks co-sponsors the bill to eliminate the Department of Education. Well, that that's interesting at the federal level, but I think it's dreaming. But when you think about it, should there be a Department of Education at all at the federal level, given that it's a state responsibility, and that anyways the states across the US are so different that will be converging toward an America where basically half of it gets the LGBT propaganda, half of it gets mathematics and English and history. So is there a function to having a federal entity there, especially since the federal entity will be mostly controlled by the left? I'm glad that this is happening, but I don't think it will work. I don't think it will result in anything. House Republicans demand Twitter board preserve all records related to Musk buyout bid. 18 House Republicans have demanded that Twitter boards preserve all records related to Elon Musk buyout offer, suggesting that they will conduct a congressional probe if their party regains control of the chamber this fall. That would also be interesting to have a full legislature to go after social media, but we've had a full legislature under Donald Trump the two first years, and nothing happened on this front, and we were telling them, do something about big tech because they're growing in power, they're going to turn against you eventually, and they did turn against them. But hopefully we can get at the midterms a Republican legislature, and let us pray that they will somehow want to operate a right-wing program, although, you know, this is questionable given their uselessness in the past. Elon Musk takes major step toward buying Twitter. That's the title at MSN.com, but we've already covered all of this step. It was yesterday, so nothing new. Elon Musk is considering a tender offer, considering basically going to shareholders one by one and say, we can buy whatever shares of Twitter you have, and we'll buy it to you for a higher price than what the market is offering you. So if he can gather 50%, and he's created a substructure of companies they were describing, that he's going to make some branches of his companies, and he's going to merge one of these branches with Twitter. That's just technicalities. In other words, Elon Musk is ready and the plan is moving forward. Macron and Le Pen. The French election will be happening in 2 days from now on the 24th. Unfortunately, Macron is leading the surveys, and in fact the gap is growing between him and Marine Le Pen. It seems we are headed, according to the survey, toward a Macron victory by 11% difference. At the 11%, it is very tough for Le Pen to win this. However, there could be a combination of factors. There could be people ashamed of voting for Marine Le Pen, so she might get a 2, 4, 5% advantage at the booth simply because it's taboo to be voting for Marine Le Pen in France. We've seen a similar phenomenon for Brexit, for Donald Trump, for everything that's populist. So it could happen, but at 11%, it's going to be very hard. Unfortunately, most of the time, politics suck, and the results that we would want to see never happens. Sigidam Sengis says, internet blood sport should never be resurrected. The only person interested in getting at the truth is JF. Everyone else involved is an absolute clown. You're absolutely correct. I've never said it in those terms, but you're right on target. This is part of the reason why people who say we should reawaken the blood sports, they don't understand that I've carried the intellectual dynamics of the blood sports on my own shoulders among a pool of idiots. Okay, a pool of complete incapable people. The chances that this can stem back in any circumstance going forward are extremely low. It's extremely low chance that the context, the social context that led to this format existing can ever happen again. Because I don't know of anyone, including myself, who would want to carry that cross once more. It is just absolute torture to be working with such low IQ individuals. I mean, it is... You'd have to pay me a lot. Now, I know that there's money to be done in blood sports, but you need an Andy Warski. You need an injustice to begin with. To begin blood sports, you need an injustice. You need a context where someone has been acquiring so many subscribers and views and yet doesn't deserve them. Like, basically, you need the offer for video to be so bad on the internet that a Andy Warski is a celebrity. And then you need a Papa JF to come in to re-equilibrate, to give what's due. And what's due is, here's a couple of eyes and ears who are so starving for good content that they're ready to click on Andy Warski every night. And you need to recuperate that energy and redrive it toward intelligence and truth. The chances that this happens ever again are basically, it's inexistent. Ruffman says, JF, I suggest that Coach Red Pill rename himself Phoenix Red Pill. I believe it is appropriate considering Coach is reborn, rising from the ashes of death like a phoenix. Yes, someone was looking at my thumbnail and title, and he was like, hasn't Coach Red Pill been gone 11 days, not 3 days? And I was like, oh, I lied. I lied for making a parallel with Easter and Jesus. And other people on the Telegram were like, yeah, I think it's a reference to Jesus, man. Artemis sends $100. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for supporting the show so generously. He says, hey, Jeff, why do you drink Diet Coke and not Diet Pepsi? And why not Pepsi? Personally, I prefer Diet Pepsi. I find it has less sparkles and thus less harsh on the throat. Well, this is Diet Pepsi. I often say Diet Coke, but most of the time, if I have the choice, I drink Diet Pepsi. Now, I'm open to Coke, Diet Coke. Sometimes I will buy Diet Coke, but only if it's cheaper. If it's the same price, I go for Diet Pepsi. And recently there was a superb... special price on Diet Pepsi at Walmart. It was something like $7.87 for 24 cans. And so I'm back to drinking cans. I'm not making my bubbling anymore because at this price, I go for the cans. Now I've bought about 14 pallets of 24 cans, which means I have a stock of about right now 350 maybe, with what I had also accumulated before. I have 350 Diet Pepsi cans standing right there in the lounge. And I will buy more. If at this price, I just pack my car. It's like sometimes I go in the Walmart two or three times. I go in the Walmart two or three times, get a full cart filled with Diet Pepsi cans. I like to be set with the Diet Pepsi cans for 2 months or 3 months. So I just pack my car, and then I go back in the Walmart, pack another cart, pack my car. And a Hyundai Accent can carry easily 20 to 30 Diet Pepsi can, and you still have 20 to 30 packs of Diet Pepsi can. And sometimes I will do two car trips. I will go to Civilization, fit a car of Diet Pepsi, but the price is good. So I'm like, as long as the price is good, I'm an obstacle to Diet Pepsi entering my home. It's all a matter of physics suddenly. It's like, how much fuel can one put in a car? How much trips can one do during the day without compromising the show? Dino Legovich says, addiction is a horrible thing. Well, yes, I am addicted probably to caffeine and to Diet Pepsi specifically, because let me tell you that when I drink coffee, I don't feel a satisfaction. But when I drink Diet Pepsi, I'm happy. I guess, yeah, you can say it's an addiction, but at this point, I'm not into spending the rest of my life addiction-less. I'm into just minimizing the addiction so that I don't end up, smoking crack with a prostitute or whatever. I'm just, if I can die with the addiction of Diet Pepsi, it won't have been too dramatic. That's how I approach it. But thank you so much, Artemis, for your donation. Das Nitsch, Nischtet. And yes, Diet Pepsi is better to me than Diet Coke, less rough on the throat, as you say. Now, why don't I drink Coke or Pepsi? Simply because the sugar in there, I mean, I'm a guy who's extremely reactive to sugar. I hate, Mama JF prepares bakery so often. I hate it, kind of, because I don't want the bakery to go to waste. But if Mama JF wasn't there, I wouldn't eat a single product of bakery other than basic bread, brown bread. But I wouldn't eat a single cake in years if it wasn't that Mama JF keeps producing them. The sugar is very bad for me. My family is diabetic. I'm not officially diabetic, but I would have to be very careful. If I was drinking as much Pepsi as I drink Diet Pepsi, I would definitely be diabetic. Agent PSI says, aren't you concerned about aspartame, JF? I've not seen convincing evidence that aspartame is dangerous, although I'm kind of exploring the unknown boundaries here. I don't think that anyone on the planet has ever consumed as much aspartame as I do. You could probably find, you could take a slice of muscle and it's probably structured with aspartame. Probably my body at this point is constructed on aspartame. That's just the amount of Diet Pepsi I've drink in my life. Will it be bad for my health? Maybe, but certainly not worse than a lot of things that people do. You know, when you compare, for example, a lot of people work in environments with volatile compounds. They will die of cancer because they've been sniffing paint all their life, or they've been working in some industry with solder machine and gas. And I've had none of this. I've had a very luxurious, like sitting on the couch, intellectual life for all my life. So everything is a balance. I think I'll probably die somewhere at the average age of death that most people die, maybe a little earlier, because we tend to die from heart disease in my family. So I don't know, maybe I have a hope of life, life expectancy around 65, 70, and I don't think that aspartame will just take me away from existence before that. Woke editor, woke Twitter elitists are too stupid to realize Elon Musk is saving the platform. In the past year, big tech and big media are learning a valuable lesson that get woke, go broke is not just a mantra, it's a rule. We've just seen companies like Netflix take a massive market beating because of their hubris and their presumption that they can simply dictate the path of our culture from on high through leftist propaganda. CNN just shut down their Premium Plus service after a single month because no one trusts them enough to pay them pocket change for content. I think that's the right analysis. The leftists are deluded. The Twitter normies who have taken over Twitter, they're deluded into thinking that this is sustainable. You're going to pay the price. Eventually, the go woke, go get woke, go broke will come for you too. It's a matter of time. Anyways, everything has an end, and there will be an end for Twitter. And us, who have been banned from Twitter unjustifiably, we will be just working at it happening for the rest of our lives. For the rest of our lives, literally, we just want to crash your little normie anti-free speech oasis. You can't sustain that amount of hate where the entire internet hates you for destroying what used to be the normal rules of the internet. So I think that the only thing that could save Twitter is this Elon Musk decision, but if it doesn't happen, you guys are deluding yourself. Rep. Marjorie Taylor Greene testifies at hearing over whether she should be disqualified from running for re-election. A hearing is underway on Friday in Atlanta to determine if Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene should be constitutionally barred from running for re-election. So they're saying the Constitution says that if you aid or abet the enemy, and if you participate in insurrection against the American government, you cannot hold office. And so people are making the argument that because she's connected to January 6th, somehow she shouldn't be running for for being a politician. It's absolutely ridiculous. First, even if you were engaged in January 6th, the people who got prosecuted for January 6th are starting to be on the loose now because there are findings of non-guilt appearing, because juries realize that, okay, this was just a bunch of people entering the Capitol. Some of them may have committed violence, arrest them, but the others, they were really protesting, and they were really given the impression by the police people that they were welcomed as protesters inside the Capitol. So go one step further and imagine that Marjorie Taylor Greene would be an organizer of this protest, which she wasn't, by the way, but even if their claim was true, that she was kind of involved in some sort of organizing action, she still wouldn't be the one who sent people committing acts of violence. She still wouldn't be the one controlling the micro vandals that showed up among the crowd. So it's a ridiculous lawsuit, and yet the judge has decided to take it. It's a state resolution that will happen at the Georgia level. Hopefully the judge is not one of these corrupt leftist agents who will end up denying her this liberty. I think it would be absolutely scandalous if a politician of modern time, just for an act of protest that she wasn't even directly connected to, would be found to have committed an insurrection. But I guess we have to address theoretically eventually what is an insurrection, because leftists, they keep talking to us about revolution, reverting the system. Are these insurrections? Because you have leftists saying revolution, 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 and they're walking side by side with Black Lives Matter protester, and they are basically rioting and destroying stuff across this nation. Is that insurrection? Who's committing the insurrection here? But if by the loose standard that they're trying to apply to Marjorie Taylor Greene, I'm sorry, but there's a bunch of Democrat politicians that would be due to be kicked out of office. John Oil has sent a super chat on Entropy. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, in the case of war shortages, do the US or Russian society can bear more stresses due to extreme shortages? Well, as I've said on the show before, the current level of life comfort in the US, you could easily chop it by two-thirds. Basically, you could reduce your grocery bill by to 33% of what it currently is, and you would still survive. I see people buying so much crap. People are living in a luxury, okay? And most people would be able to drop their consumption to 33% of what it currently is, and there wouldn't be health effects, there wouldn't be mass starvation easily. Now, they would certainly be pissed about it. They would dislike the discomfort, and they would dislike the fact that it's happening, and they'd be pissed at their politician potentially. But it's certainly something they can do. So if they can do it, will there be a bunch of politicians basically forcing society down that line? Could happen. But also, let's not forget that food is cheap in our societies, and there's no particular reason other than the fact that it's easy to produce. And I think there would have to be further dramatic events for people to eventually have a, like, starvation problem. In the West, I don't see starvation coming. I certainly see prices rising. This will happen, and it will keep happening. But I don't think we'll be at the point of starvation, and neither in Russia. I think that organized society have some degree of capacity to handle these shocks to the system. So yes, they could handle more, and I think that they will find kind of solutions. They will not be solutions that will be pleasant, but it's doable. Our societies can easily do this. When you look at the plastic crap that people are buying, the level of hyper-consumption that we are flooded with, I mean, I've been kind of adopting a simple lifestyle throughout my whole life. See, when people were laughing at me when I was buying my Mirage, they were like, Jeff, why not a pickup truck? Well, why not? Have you seen the price of gas? Now I'm happy with my Mirage. But all it would take for people to address an extreme inflation period like we're in right now is people to live like me, just live more simple. But people, they have a hard time accepting this. They have a hard time wanting to live simple. But they could. Putin accuses Ukraine of inconsistency in negotiations. Russian president plays down prospect of a meeting with Ukraine Zelensky during talks with top European official. I've also seen that a lot of what Zelensky says changes by the day. Sometimes it's like, okay, we'd be willing to make some compromises. And sometimes it's like, no, there won't be any compromise on the territorial integrity of Ukraine. Well, as long as they're not willing to compromise on territorial integrity, there won't be meaningful discussions. So all these peace negotiations thing are useless. It's a loss of time for everyone, and it drags attention, and it gives hope to the people that the war will be ended by peace treaty. But the thing is, Zelensky is too stubborn, and Zelensky has put himself in a position where I'm not even sure that he benefits from an end to the war. Consider all of the masses of money being moved toward Ukraine. If I'm Zelensky, the individual, and if I don't have particular love for the people, it's a very tempting calculation to say, well, when I'm at war, I'm making billions of dollars incoming from all these nations, and they're re-equipping my military for free, and everything is coming in. Or I go back to being the poorest nation of Europe. It's and much of this weaponry that is sent, much of this money that is sent, will probably go through very dishonest networks. I wouldn't be surprised that Ukraine will be the next Al-Qaeda, in the sense that it might turn against us. It's not totally crazy, because it's been happening before that we funded Osama bin Laden for years, and eventually his interests don't align with ours anymore, and eventually somehow he becomes an enemy. We could have a similar scenario where networks of people within Ukraine, no matter what happens to Ukraine and just by how much do they lose the war, a black market forms. Eventually there are groups like the Azov Battalion that survive the war, and eventually you find yourself with radicalized people having the weapons that you had sent to defend Ukraine. I think this is a easy to predict outcome. As yen craters, Japan begs US for coordinated currency intervention is rejected by Yellen. At the end of March, we warned that the yen was at risk of explosive downward spiral with Kuroda trapped, and that more or less is what happened, with the Japanese currency subsequently suffering the longest stretch of daily losses in history, with 13 consecutive days of losses. Well, Japan is asking for coordinated activity between the central banks of countries. I think it's not in the interest of the US to do that. I think a weaker yen will probably lead to ease of export on Japan, so the American public will be able to buy these wonderful cars, I guess, which are the Japanese cars. So I don't see why we would intervene there. Tesla on autopilot summons hits a private jet. Another one of these Tesla autopilot scene here. We will see the Tesla bump in the jet. I'm willing to listen to... There's something dishonest here, which is... this is not Tesla. It's bad driving habit. And you just happen to, there just happens to be a high concentration of stupid people owning Teslas, being so rich for some reason that they can afford a Tesla. And then they even pay the prime, which is about $12,000, I believe, for the autopilot system. And then they think that it's going to handle any situation. You have to have your foot on the brake, ready at all time to brake for the AI, because the AI is not there yet. The AI doesn't know what a plane is. Okay. I mean, yeah. So there were other scenes sent to me today. They bump on in parking lots, they bump on shops, and sometimes there's a special feature in the road and the Tesla doesn't understand it. Well, the technology is not ready, so don't trust it. Always be there, drive the car. Lendalt Guntram says, JF, he is a member of the Davos Young Leaders group as well, said himself he was fighting for globalism and all the funky related stuff. Are you talking about Putin or Zelensky? Yeah, I mean, Zelensky, I don't know exactly from which line of thought he stems from, but it's very clear when you look at what he does in Ukraine. He's basically he's a puppet. He's a puppet of the globalist, literally, because I know that you can use this this term, puppet of the globalist, jokingly, sarcastically, ironically. But no, Zelensky, it's what he does. He helps the globalists penetrate a region of the world that was judged as a good target for this kind of activity. And it's been going on since before Zelensky. Zelensky is just the latest puppet. But yeah, that's a problem, because we are talking about an expansion of the powers of the West and the control over the world and the isolationism against Russia policy. And the dream that is being sold to Ukraine is a living hell. And we know it from living in those hypocritical nations that claim that we have free speech, but we don't. That claim, oh, you have those rights protected, but they'll be happy to violate it if you are targeted by cancel culture or any of these social witch hunts that we subject people to. This is the, and on top of it, I'm not talking to you about the propaganda in schools, public schools, Marxism, cultural Marxism, LGBT activism. We are faced with a whole lot of problems that will all get into Ukraine if the globalists have their way. Lendalt Guntram says, JF, I was talking about Zelensky, but I might have tagged you wrongly. Sorry about that. Wanted to address Tillman in the chat. Don't know how it all slipped. Well, no problem. It's always good to read what the chat is saying to each other. Justet says, aren't all political leaders worldwide puppets of the globalist, JF? See government restrictions worldwide last 2 years. Hashtag see vax passport mandates in all Western nations. Definitely the Western world, but that's the point. Ukraine is not the Western world. So having a puppet there is an aggressive move, if you will. Having a puppet in Canada is expected. It's not surprising. But what's surprising is the intensity with which basically a nation which is incompatible with Western European principles, okay? Ukraine is just too corrupt, just too much human trafficking, just too much poverty for it to fit the Western European mold. But there's been an effort to basically pass this under the rug in the last 15 years and integrate Ukraine at the cost of the abandonment of these principles, and with the idea that, okay, you know, maybe Ukraine has a lot to learn, but we can get them better. And it's better that way if we continue this kind of imperialism toward Ukraine. We're going to pay the price of basically associating with a very bad nation, but we will win that we'll just be better in front of Russia. So that's a problem. Two Russian oligarchs found dead just one day apart. Absolutely scandalous. They are like multimillionaire. One had a personal wealth of 433 million. One was in Spain. They were all killed with their family. And it's not clear. It could be them stabbing their family to death and then killing themselves. But one is in Spain. One is in Russia. They're two oligarchs. They both have a family with wife and daughter. And both of them, within the space of 2 days, die, and their wife and their daughter dies, one in Spain, one in Russia. And they had massive wealth. And they die not from gunshots, it's from blades. Knife in one case and a kind of axe in another case. They were related to Novatek, a major gas company with close ties to Gazprom Bank. It's really sad that this seems to be related to the Ukraine war, but in what way exactly? Were they killed by agents who wanted to make it look like it was the act of the men themselves? Because it's not traditional to see agents kill with blades like this. Or perhaps it was because these agents were specialized killers and they had to travel using the civilian infrastructure, and perhaps they couldn't get guns in the places they needed. So perhaps the blades were the only option. Extremely bizarre. And I don't understand why they're being killed. It's certainly related to Ukraine, Russia, Gazprom, all this. But are they killed by the Ukraine side, by the Russian side? Did they kill themselves because they had regrets or whatever? I don't know. Guy from V says, Jeff, there were three weird oligarch deaths just before the war started also. Okay, I didn't know. Maybe someone can connect the dots with all these deaths. There's just so much pressure on the gas industry and so much. It's like, so much possibilities of who could have killed these guys. Is it because they were not following orders the way their director wanted, their governments wanted? I don't know. Ryan Dawson says, I told everyone Lyra was alive. That is true, because you made a comment on the video of 2 days ago, I believe, and you said Coach Red Pit is alive. Well, thank you for letting us know, and thank you for being here tonight, Ryan. I believe this is the official Ryan channel. Let me just verify. Yes, it's the real Ryan Dawson. And it says he's live on Odyssey right now. Is he live? And he's also chatting here on JFG tonight. That's funny. Justed says, I missed the first 15 minutes of the show tonight. Did CRP give an explanation why the SBU released them today and without his devices like phone and laptop, Jeff? He didn't give such an explanation. He cannot comment on anything that happened. So all he can say is he's been detained by the SBU and he's under house arrest. So that's all he's going to say. That's all we're going to know. One can guess easily that the practice of these guys is very often to neutralize a an information poll, and CRP had become a displeasing information poll for the Ukraine side, and so they've knocked him down. They took all of his stuff with the hope that he would stop being a voice critical of the Ukraine side. And so very often these guys, they don't really care about what you've done. They just want you to stop. And that's how I would interpret the message of the SBU here. They're saying to coach, look, we can all forget this once the war is done, but as long as the war is not done, we don't want to hear anything from you anymore. Ryan Dawson sends a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, I'm doing both BC because they're watching a video clip that's rather long. So Ryan Dawson is streaming on his Odyssey channel, and he's also super chatting on JFG while he's on the cruise control on his channel. He's like, all right, let me play them a video. That is wonderful. But careful, Ryan Dawson, with the cruise control, because when you leave too much control to automated stuff, you can end up just like the Tesla drivers who trust their AI too much. You end up just, you bump on a plane. Be careful, Ryan, with this, with these two activities that you're doing at the same time. Russia seeks full control of southern Ukraine. This will be our last news item for tonight. Full control of southern Ukraine along with Donbass, general confirms. So it's a general from the Russian army who just said that he wanted full control of the Donbass and southern Ukraine, and that meant completing the domination of Ukraine up to Moldova. So that means they would connect with Transnistria, which it's been something that Semyon Ogog had mentioned, that this has always been the goal of Russia, to be able to have a front with Europe that is at the tightest spot between the connection between Europe and Russia. So if they do accomplish this, that would mean taking over not only Mariupol, as basically has been completed now, remove some Azovstal resistance, but it would mean also taking Odessa. So we'll know if Russia can do that. It's a bold attempt, but I think that when you look at the democratic votes patterns for Yanukovych, and you realize that the people who had put Yanukovych in power, the pro-Russian people, they're not so much split from west to east. They are split from north to south. There's basically, you can imagine a division between the north and the south of Ukraine, and the south was very much pro-Russia, and this included up to Odessa. So I believe that it's a war goal that makes sense from the perspective of which are the local populations that have been favorable to pro-Russia political candidates. And perhaps it will be easier to take over these regions, as we've seen, much easier to take Mariupol than Kiev. Probably because the local populations there are not as much afraid of Russia as they would be in the north. So that is now the... Well, it's not a statement from Putin. So you believe that general... Maybe that general has insight on the question, or maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's just talking out of his ass. But I would trust that this looks like what the goal is, basically... If they accomplish this, that would mean Ukraine has been cut from the sea. That's a major thing. Is Ukraine still a viable country once it's cut from the sea? I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. But Russia will certainly be happy if they can control any circulation out of Ukraine on the southern front toward the sea. That is it for tonight. Lindolt Guntram says, the Azov guys are literally rotting alive in the factory catacombs. If I recall correctly, a vid can be found here on Odyssey, but you will have to look for yourself if interested in this kind of shocking infotainment. Okay, I haven't seen this video, so if someone has the link to this video, I like to be informed. I won't necessarily show it on the show, because I always try to run a show that gives the information, but that doesn't show human suffering, if possible. Yeah, do send me this link, because I'm interested at knowing what's the current state in the factory catacombs, as you call them. All right, much love to everyone. I'm on a break tomorrow, so don't expect a show tomorrow. I'm setting up all sorts of things with the farm, the greenhouse, plumbing, tubes. I have so much things to do, I don't think I'll be done. But I want a full day to do as much as I can. Much love, and see you all not tomorrow.